Northwest Christian School Online provides online Christian education for any students, ranging from kindergarten to 10th grade. The tuition is fully covered through the state of Arizona's ESA program and is affordable for families out of state. You can count on NCS Online for a rigorous, proven online program that establishes a robust biblical worldview for all students. For more information, go to ncsonline.org. That's ncsonline.org.
Sin is a failure to love God and others by not treating them with the honor they deserve. So in the Bible, sin is a failure to fulfill a goal. But what's the goal?
Happy spring break, G.
It is spring break.
Monday, March 11th.
Yeah. What are you doing for spring break, Mr. Brown?
I'm working a lot.
Yeah.
I'm working a lot because my wife is in Virginia as we speak.
Oh, wedding prep.
Preparing wedding prep.
Yeah.
Emma Ann is getting married to a young man named Case.
Case.
And Case is awesome.
Yeah.
Case is awesome. He is a counseling. He's getting his master's in counseling. And suddenly within our family, we have a sensitive male. Heretofore, something thoughtfulness and sensitivity have not previously been.
The GBs have not been.
Not our realm.
Jerry, Jeff, George, not quite the most sensitive.
But Case is suddenly this infusion of sensitivity and emotion, and it's a welcome change.
That's great.
And it's awesome. There's a wisdom in this young man that is profound. And so I'm thrilled that my wife is in Virginia preparing for the wedding in November. It's awesome.
Yes.
What about you, sir?
I get to spend 4 days in the field.
Ooh.
Field training exercise. Yeah, our unit will be doing weapons qualification. So I'll be in a tent. It won't be quite camping like we know camping, but it'll be fun to be with soldiers and
now,
and
can
spend
you
time
reveal where in the field this is?
Oh, yeah. We'll be in, we do weapons qualification in Florence.
Okay.
Yeah. There's a base down in Florence, so we'll be hanging out down there.
Well, and what about the Collinses?
Yeah, we have the Collinses in here. Mr.
This is awesome.
Tyler and Tammy Collins in the house today.
Yeah, we will be helping Tam's parents move cabins up in Forest Lakes to Payson.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Forest Lakes to Payson. So a little closer.
A little closer.
Nice.
A little closer.
Very good.
Yeah. Well, it's good to have you here, Mr. and Mrs. Collins. If you ever come into the office, probably the second face you see, the first one you see is Mrs. Haney or Mrs. Hovda, but then if you turn left, you get to see Mrs. Collins.
That's right.
make sure you turn left. What is actually your role? Is it secondary secretary or what's the?
Yeah, essentially I'm the secondary administrative assistant. So I get to support Ms. Mastin, who's our middle school principal and assistant superintendent, and then also support Mr. Parsons, our high school principal, and then Jim James, who is our dean for middle school and high school.
Okay.
And I think that's a.
It's very small.
She's underselling.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Oh. And Mr. Collins, you've been here a minute.
I've been here a while. Yeah, it's 17th year. So finishing
that's awesome.
Up. Year 17. Taught. Came in as middle school PE teacher, and second year, first opportunity at a Bible position. I jumped at that and taught middle school for 12 years, felt called to it, and now they scare me. So, yeah. But I teach high school now, sophomore Bible.
Okay. And where did you live when you first got married?
Oh, interesting. We lived in...
Wow, my show notes. I don't see...
These aren't the show notes, he knows where I'm going and I know where I'm going.
Apartment 168 at... What was the name of that? Paradise Falls apartment.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wait, Paradise Falls at 7th and Greenway?
32nd
Greenway.
Okay, interesting.
Directly under 268.
Yeah.
Who lived in 268?
I lived in 268.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. I have big feet, too.
I was going to say, someone pretty loud, actually.
Yes.
Yeah, I think sometimes I would just jump up and down, and I think you would feel like the sky is falling.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah. I think still one of my, I'm still a little frustrated, Mr. Collins, about this. When I moved into the apartment, I had cable wasn't disconnected. Mm.
I know where you're going with this.
Yeah, and so I was watching. Oh, I was addicted to The Crocodile Hunter.
Mm-hmm.
And then
Steve
Mr.
Irwin,
Collins
God
moves
rest
in.
His soul.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I got rest in peace. And then Mr.
So you had, oh, set the context. You had free cable.
Yes.
Free cable. So, i.e., you were stealing cable.
Negative. I didn't.
Is that right?
You could
it just
say
happened.
That.
It just happened.
It just mm-hmm. so happened to happen.
What was I supposed to do? It was on if I turned, you know, it was there. And then Mr. Collins.
It's a stewardship issue.
You guys got married. We got married March 13th. You guys got married
July 3rd.
So you guys came a few months after we were uh-huh. there. And then Mr. Collins orders the cable. And they look at the box and like, oh, 268 still getting it. And I got unplugged. mm-hmm. But that was good stuff.
Yeah.
Well, since we're airing our grievances, I remember move day, go. And we had I was a youth pastor at the time. We had kids in our youth group, so you know, frail little guys helping us move. G comes, says hi, and
moves on,
and then yeah, disappeared. I don't know what
really?
Happened. Yeah,
to watch his cable,
probably to go watch Crocodile.
I knew I had about another week left.
Yeah.
Sorry about that, Mr. Collins.
I know
you've really working
you've
moved it out
a lot.
Today.
That's been like a part-time job for you over the last
Absolutely.
25 years, moving people.
And that's really why I've called the three of you into the booth
we're
today.
Get it. We're going to get
as
it.
An intervention. We yeah. need to work some things
we
out.
We could go on and on and on yeah, about the stories, fun we had as the honeymooners.
Yeah.
Which was just a beautiful time, though. 25 yeah. years ago.
Yeah.
Right.
25 years, us in March and you guys in July. That's mm-hmm. Super rad. And maybe could you two talk a little bit about just maybe your background, your faith background, and how you – I know you're from Montana, Mr. Mm-hmm. Collins, and Mrs. Collins, you're from Phoenix here, and just about how you came to know the Lord. And
yeah. Like you said, I grew up in Montana. My parents, believers, they came to Jesus kind of late in life. They were hippies from the 60s. They actually literally sold everything they had, lived in the mountains for a couple of months in Colorado, and that was kind of their story, and they ended up in Montana in this little cowboy church, and came to know Jesus at this place. Just owe so much to these amazing people who pointed them in the right direction, and they came to faith in the early 70s, and so raised in a Christian home, but yet my you know there's probably some things about you know my. My dad came to faith. My mom came to faith. My dad, still you know, a little slower moving, getting yeah. there than my mom, but knew Jesus and so there were you know things growing up that like just you know we would I don't know we would go to a Christmas Eve service and then the party would ensue afterward and that was kind of the way things were and it was. Thought that was normal, and apparently that's not super normal. So so it was just kind of a different upbringing, I guess. You know, I did grow up going to church, going to youth group, mission trips, things like that. And so a lot of addictions and dysfunction, you know, in my family. But I had a pretty amazing childhood growing up in Montana, getting to experience all that. But I came to know Jesus at a young age. I remember praying with a friend, and along the way, getting to make my faith become more my own along the way, and all those mission trips and youth experiences and things like that along the way that came helped me come to know him in a real way. And went to college for a couple years, and kind of went a wrong direction for a year up in Montana. And before I said, "Man, I need a different setting," and so. Came to Phoenix to go to Bible college, and I played basketball at the little Bible college I was at, and was able to just grow in ministry and opportunities there, and never turned back, and got to meet this amazing lady back in 1996 at Arizona College of the Bible and
ACB.
So, mm-hmm.
Go Falcons!
Yeah, so that's kind of my
so Tammy, you were at ACB?
I was, yes.
Oh, that's cool. I didn't realize that.
Yes. So I went there just to get a 1-year Bible certificate. At the time, they had stated they had that program, and I'll leave that for another
yeah.
another
We're
podcast.
We're really working everything out today, aren't we? It's
but,
all coming to bear.
That's when I met Tyler. So I was like, maybe I'll keep going to school. Maybe I'll extend this. But yeah, so I did grow up here in Phoenix, and great family, parents that loved us well and loved the Lord. And so that was just kind of ingrained into our family culture and our home. And yeah, just super grateful for that. Did come to know the Lord personally at a young age as well. Prayed a prayer with my mom. And I have just a story that I'm grateful for, but that just I just felt like the Lord kind of kept me tight and close to Him throughout my middle school years and high school years. I went to a Christian school, not to Northwest.
Yeah. Red,
and
red and white.
Yeah.
We shall remain nameless.
Yeah.
Go Eagles.
Yeah.
but I love that. I did struggle, you know, just that tension between being in a Christian place where there were not non-believers, really. I mean, obviously, we have non-believers everywhere. And I do remember just really seeking the Lord really in like middle high school, if that's where I was to be. And I felt like God really just wanted to allow His Spirit to be seen in that Christian environment and call people and just show that He's real and alive and not just like an academic or a label. And so I was, you know, considering going to a public high school. Could I be a better light there essentially for Christ? And just felt like the Lord just was having me be present and steady and just really just walk and live for Him in a Christian environment. Yeah. And so I'm grateful for that. And then, yeah, I went to Bible college. And I think my journey, you know, my testimony isn't really just when I came to know the Lord so much as it's, I'm not going to tell you how old I am, but like it's that many years long, my testimony. I feel like I'm continuing just to grow and to be humbled and to seek the Lord and to just get to know Him in new ways, as new challenges and things, you know, arise. So I would say my testimony is still ongoing because 100%. I'm still becoming.
Well, while you were there, you must have been surrounded by some of the lost because you knew my brother.
Yes, I did.
Right?
That's Chastel.
Yeah. Wait, was he in the same grade as you?
So he was, I think, a year above my sister. So okay. I went over and to that school in middle school, and she was in high school. So downtown Ryan Brown.
Downtown Ryan Brown.
Yeah.
So we can say it. We can say Scottsdale Christian.
Yeah.
It's okay.
Yeah.
I don't think
we can.
Can
say it.
Thomas, edit that out, please.
Yeah. I had a great time there. It was a great experience. Yeah.
And if we just mentioned we've been married. You guys have been married 25 years almost coming up. And I really, 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 really love your kids.
Yeah.
And not, no knock on the younger two, but the upper three have been pretty involved in our Mexico trips. But can you talk about your amazing five kids?
Yeah, we are really thankful for those opportunities that they've had. They've been life shaping.
Absolutely.
For them. So I mean, Tatum I think went on 25 plus trips, and Tess about the same, and I think Tal's fallen in that same step, 20 or more trips. And those have been incredible experiences for them. They, I think those things were, I think just helped make their faith very real. And so we were able to, our younger two, we were able to adopt Tiana. Both were newborn. They were little hospital calls. So they've only known us. We've had them in our life, their whole life. Amazing kiddos. So yeah, we have five. So our three biological daughters and then Tiana, our first kiddo that we adopted, and then Truett. He's our caboose. He's 11. So anything to add?
Yeah, I mean, it's just a lot. It's a full, I mean, and
three kids is a lot. Five is more than a lot. I don't know what you call that, but that's awesome.
But so, with that range too, you know, I mean, you got Tatum, who's 21.
Yeah, so we have
and then a fifth grader. So there's a pretty good range. So Tatum would have been in what grade when you adopted Truett?
So we did foster care for a little while. So she was in fifth grade when we started foster care. Yeah. So she would have been in middle school when we adopted Truett. Yeah. But yeah, so we have two in college and then a senior.
Yeah.
And then eighth and fifth grade now.
Tatum, Tessa, Talia. And I've probably gotten them right, I don't know, a third of the time. I think Tiana thinks it's kind of like, you know, I've done that with all of them.
Yeah.
Outside of Tatum. I don't think, with Tatum. But even Tatum, I remember one day in chapel, I said, Mr. Collins, what's Tammy doing in chapel?
Yeah.
I just saw the back in your hair, and I was like, it's Mrs. Yeah. Collins, but it was Tatum.
Yeah.
So just love your kids. And, talk about Mexico. Like, even Tiana just goes in February. And,
yeah.
And Truett's been on a few day trips.
He has.
So they've been down there.
He has.
And got to hang out in Imiotis, which is pretty fun.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. Well, listen, we're looking today. We're continuing in the Red Letter Challenge. And this is, for those just joining us, this is an annual or maybe biannual or triannual, whatever it may be. It's an opportunity that we put in front of our elementary students to go through the Gospels, one chapter per day, four Gospels in 3 months. And it's such a rich experience.
Yes.
I love having the opportunity to walk around campus and have students ask me questions or maybe voice an observation. And that's what we're doing today is we are getting into John chapter 8 because – if you'll go to the show notes, you can actually download the Bible reading plan and join with us. John chapter 8, the book of John, I have a friend, Pastor Dan Gavazza, said that the book of John is shallow enough for a baby to wade in, deep enough for an elephant to drown in. You can get lost in John. There's so much rich stuff going on. Last week we talked about the fact that this is a form of Hebraic writing that is a little bit different than the Synoptic Gospels. The question that John is asking is, what did it mean? And that's what we get to do in John chapter 8. We see in John 8 some really special moments. We see Jesus explicitly revealing who he is. And yet we see the religious leaders pushing back. And we see even in the first century, there were the debate of paternity. Who was Jesus' father? That manifests here. And even in the first century, there were debates and discussions about who this guy was, his identity. And Jesus calls it out specifically in terms of who his father is. Such a great chapter. But you guys, what jumps out at you as you look at John 8?
I think of just our posture, how it opens with the adulterous woman and Jesus just demonstrating this incredible grace and mercy, in her life. And then it closes with him going back and forth, kind of battling with these Pharisees and scribes, right? And they're obviously not coming with a posture of humility or a need for Jesus. They're coming with their criticisms and their pointed, nasty questions. And Jesus, I just love that we see that contrast in this one chapter of Jesus loving this woman who just came and just was, just had nothing to offer, and he just extended grace and mercy in this moment. I don't know. I think I just even sharing just a few minutes ago my story. I said it was filled with there was a lot of addiction and brokenness and all of that, and yet I also said it was amazing. And so I just think life is really really messy sometimes, and so just coming at this. With a posture of humility, and we're just broken, we're flawed, and we just flat out need him. And so that was what the Pharisees and the scribes were really lacking, right?
Yeah. When I read this and I'm looking like that, because that section to me has always been very sacred. Like, you try to put yourself in the picture, like, what is somebody thinking? Like, what were the people in the crowd thinking when they heard the Sermon on the Mountain? Or what were, what was this lady? Well, one, this lady was thinking she's about to die, right? Because the Bible says that we caught this woman in the very act of adultery. And so then you start thinking, and this is a PG-13 podcast maybe, but she's probably naked. And she knows she's going to die. And my guess is it's not her first time committing adultery or being used and abused by some of these men. Some people think that it might have been a Pharisee was the man, one of the people with the rocks.
And where was the man?
That's a great question.
Why wasn't he drug out there too?
And my kind of inquisitive nature, always like, I always thought of T-ball. Like, all the guys out in T-ball in center field playing tic-tac-toe. Because what does Jesus do when they say, should we stone? He just bends down and starts writing the ground. Mm-hmm. He's like, he's writing. And then you start thinking, my brain, what's he writing? There's a lot of different theories. And I used to kind of, what's the theory? But, a friend of ours named John Lynch, was preaching on this, and he said, you know what Jesus did at that moment? He took all the attention, all these guys with the rocks, all these guys with bloodthirsty, they were going to kill this lady, she's an adulteress, and all the attention went off of this naked, scared woman over to him. Mm-hmm. And what a beautiful thing he did. And mm-hmm. that posture, like you said, TC, of just humility and love. And it doesn't say it in the Bible, but I got to think he took his coat off mm-hmm. and gave it to her. And I think he might have, you know, just grabbed her face and looked at her and just said, where are your accusers? I love that story. Mm-hmm. I just really gets to see, again, the tenderness, I think, of Jesus. And I really do. I mean, I've wrestled with that, like, what did he write? But I don't care what he wrote. He just, again, he took that attention.
For me, that passage speaks to the fact that he averted, poignantly and pointedly, we're told that he averted his gaze. You know, so in Scripture, so often we see nakedness associated with shame. And so we have the creator of the universe averting his gaze from the shame of this woman. And I think that's such a powerful thing. I don't think we're meant to know what mm-hmm. was written right. in the sand. Yeah. But I think we are told, man, be careful here. You know, and Jesus very carefully averts his gaze from her shame and then redirects the conversation in such a powerful mm-hmm. way.
Yeah.
I love just the verse 12 where Jesus speaks and he says, I am the light of the world. Mm-hmm. You know, and as I read, because some of this is like, yeah, I'd like to focus on verses 1 through 11. It's easier to understand. And then as he kind of starts to dialogue with the Pharisees and the scribes, and you're like, where is he going with this? You know, it can be kind of confusing, but just as, again, Jesus took the attention off of the adulterous woman,
yeah.
like what he's also asking from her and from us is that our attention is on him and that light. And if you just, I mean, there's so many things about light, but what it does, it just exposes darkness, obviously, but it covers darkness. It yeah. leads the way. It lights a path. If you look at a sunrise, there's so much beauty in it. It draws our attention. Mm-hmm. If you're in a dark room and you're seeing something like something plugged in, maybe in your bedroom or your bathroom, a light flashes and it draws your attention. And so it grabs our focus. And so I feel like in my own life and in seasons where it's so easy to be looking at other things or the darkness around us or darkness within us, that as the Holy Spirit convicts us of our own sin, that we are drawn to the light. That's where our hope is the light. Yes. So I love that. And, you know, John 8 starts with the woman and people holding rocks going to stone her. And it ends with people holding rocks to throw them at Jesus. Like
wow.
he draws that. Yeah. But I like the light.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. In that first century context, you know, any time that phrase, you are the light of the world, that was usually used towards rabbis. And so for Jesus to say specifically, I am the light of the world, that's a truth claim mm-hmm. that very, and there's a number of these truth claims like I am statements throughout the book of John, but that was a bold statement. Wow. And we mm-hmm. see his authority being challenged by the religious leaders, but it also causes me to reflect, Tammy, as you were talking, it takes me back to Matthew 5 when mm-hmm. Jesus says, you are the light. Mm-hmm. He has the audacity to turn to fishermen and farmers and just the peasants within the Galilean community. And he says something, it's the highest compliment given to a rabbi. And he says, you are mm-hmm. the light of the world. And that was a revelatory statement.
Mm-hmm.
Crazy.
Yeah, I was just grabbing on to the I am statements, right? You mentioned mm-hmm. that. That was one of seven I am statements in John. And this tension, you just feel it rising as it gets toward the end of the chapter, and they're going back and forth. You talked about paternity, you know, who's his father, and just all this tension's happening. And then that final blow when Jesus says, before Abraham was, I am. And
wow.
That's the moment that the stones were picked up and they're ready to throw them at Jesus. And so he makes his most probably deliberate claim of being God in this moment, John 8. That's where my mind goes in John 8, is just this very intentional claim that he is divine.
Yeah.
And we kind of know, looking back, like our we've read the Bible a few times. We've kind of understood that. But back then, that was just like as shocking. That would have been on front page news. Like, Jesus said, I am.
Right.
And like, well, because we have to kind of maybe tell kids what that might mean. But these Jewish culture knew exactly what that meant.
All their minds went back to Exodus 3, right? Tell them, who should I say sent me? Tell them I am.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I don't know. My attention span is not worth 59 verses, but I hadn't really put together the fact they had the rocks and then they comes back to the rocks. Yeah. That was really a beautiful picture, and they were going throwing from her, but now to him. Yeah, that's like a lot for Mr. G. Again, that's another 48 verses after that, so I didn't put that together. So that was huge.
That's awesome. Well, guys, thank you. Thank you for this time, and I appreciate the insights that you bring to John chapter 8.
Yeah.
And, folks, thank you for investing some time with us today and hoping you enjoy a great spring break.
Yes.
And what an amazing opportunity. We've got a little bit more time this week. Get into the show notes today. Download the Bible reading plan, and let's imagine you haven't touched this thing all the way through Mark or Luke, and now it's John. Pick it up, start today.
Yeah.
Even if 59 verses is a lot, maybe that's kind of like 0 to 60, almost 60.
Yeah, just read the first
11. Read the first few verses. Just sit down with your kids for a few minutes today, this week, and enjoy unpacking God's Word. I promise you, He will meet you there.
Amen. Thanks again, Mr. and Mrs. Collins.
Thank you very much.
Take care, folks. Northwest Christian School has made Biblical Worldview online courses available to all high school students for transcript credit. Regardless of whether they attend public school, private school, charter school, or homeschool, Frameworks is an exciting new initiative utilizing the learning management system of Grand Canyon University. For more information, visit BibleClassesForPublicSchools.com.